So this is Nicholas Ate on the Talk Time with Lumpe. I'm here with Itunu, and I've actually hijacked her show today, and she will be a guest on her own show. So she started her podcast 2nd of February. Am I right?
No.
So when did you start your podcast, Itunu?
4th of February, 2020.
4th of February. But your first upload was when?
Official upload.
Yes, official upload.
Was the 4th of February.
February. Okay. So she started her podcast when people like me were still shouting Godwin. And today we are actually going down memory lane. And Lumpe, I'm sure you must be familiar with this. Life in itself is filled with different colors. And in those colors, different shades. One thing is certain, you know, whatever shade you pick determines your lifestyle. And so with every episode on Talk with Lumpe, we're going to be discussing a lifestyle in different shades and colors. Why the hell did you stop using that line, though?
I felt it was horrible.
Why?
It didn't sound pretty cool.
Okay, but you're about lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And every episode is about lifestyle.
Yes, it
so,
is.
So you can actually use this line and everything fits. Life is colors. Colors have shades. I don't see what's wrong with that.
It didn't just feel cool to me. So I just feel like, does it have to be the same introduction every time? Because I think I was in for like 2 episodes and then I stopped.
Okay.
And I started just introducing myself. Hi, it's your girl, Lumpe. So I just moved right to it. Because I felt like if people kept on listening to that same intro every time, they would get really tired. So I just decided to, you know what, switch things up on every episode.
Oh, okay. So are we still seeing other evolution of your podcast, you know, coming up soon? Maybe that that background music you use where they clap. What's that, by the way? What's the title of that song?
You're going to have to ask Anchor.
Okay, so Anchor provides that for you, right?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay. So that line we read just now was one of the first things you posted on Anchor. And the second episode was Identify Yourself.
Yes.
So you talked about identifying yourself. Well, what does that really mean?
Okay, so that was my first official episode that I released on the 4th of February. And I felt like, following from the introduction I gave from the trailer, that life in itself has different shades of colors and all. I use colors to signify different people and, you know, how to figure yourself and not just be stagnant and move in life. So it's literally about you figuring out yourself and for you not to give up. You know, that was just an episode to encourage myself and everyone listening.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds fine. Moving up the ladder, we have a movie review, Miracle in Cell Number 7.
Yes.
I've not seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
What's it about?
So Miracle in Cell Number 7 had about 5 versions.
Okay.
There was the American version, there was the Korean version, there was the, in fact, forgotten, but I think there was another Philippine version or something. And so it was about a man that was wrongfully accused because he was disabled. And so his daughter kind of like fought ways to get him out of prison and stuff. And so I just gave a review about the movie, the things, the plots, everything.
Mm-hmm. And you gave them a lot of spoilers.
Well, I mentioned it first. If you've not watched the movie,
yeah, so
don't listen.
But there are people who just want to listen to your podcast at all costs. Like they've missed your podcast. You know, they just want to listen, and you give them so many spoilers.
But the reality is, from the review I gave, a lot of people actually went to watch the movie because a lot of people messaged me for the link to the movie and stuff, and they watched it, and they also had reviews for me. So I can say that I actually pushed people to watch
the movie.
You know,
just know that if you do a review of one of my favorite movies before I watch that movie, I'll definitely shoot you for sure. So, toxic relationships.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One of your very good, great episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people have been, you know, in several toxic relationships. Mm-hmm. And have you had one yourself?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay. No wonder. No wonder you could talk about it like with, you know, such expertise, right?
Well, I've healed from it. Okay. So, and I realized that a whole lot of people actually don't heal from toxic relationships. They can't even get out.
Okay.
So then I wanted my voice to be that helping voice for them to leave and to get better and to heal.
Oh, okay. Well, I have been in toxic relationships myself. And I would say it wasn't easy. It wasn't really easy. So maybe I should go listen to that episode once more. And
you should, because it doesn't really have to do with sexual partners here.
Okay.
Or anyone you're in a sexual relationship with. It could be with your friend, your family, whoever. It doesn't have to be a romantic partner.
Okay.
So it's like centers on every single person around you. Because most of us actually grew up in African homes with toxic relationships everywhere around.
Mm-hmm.
So just a way for you to break free.
I can see an episode here and it's body shaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Body shaming was an episode you talked about people having a high esteem for themselves no matter how you look,
mm-hmm.
and you don't allow people to talk you down,
mm-hmm.
you know, and things like that. And I mean, you said we are free to pass our comments,
mm-hmm.
but not do so in a very rude way.
Yes.
I don't know. What category of people do you think are most body shamed?
Well, they like to call them fat people.
Okay.
Me, you call them what? Thick.
Thick, bold, and beautiful.
Thick.
Right?
You know, and really skinny people.
Okay.
And I've had a couple of friends. What brought about this episode was, can I say from me? Mm-hmm. A lot of people actually see me every time and say, oh my God, you're bigger. Even when I'm not bigger.
Yeah.
All right. People pass unnecessary comments. And I just let people know that I'm thick and I love you like that. All right.
Not fat.
And so, not fat.
Is it actually, you know, cool to call people fat?
Well, from what we learned in school, it's not right for you to call people fat, anyways.
Okay.
But I feel like if someone is fatty, you know, there's a difference between fat and thick now. I mean, I'm thick.
I mean, I don't know the difference. So,
adequate thick. You know, I'm thick, but there are some people that are actually fat, and that way you actually see, you know, some extra fats, you know, in their body. And those ones, sometimes they have to go for surgery, they have to, you know, lose weight in time and stuff. Unlike thick people, girl, you're healthy,
mm-hmm.
you're healthy. But then just really skinny people, I have a lot of skinny friends.
Okay.
And most of them doesn't work.
Usually doesn't work.
Yes. So, and they have a lot of people actually body shaming them that they are so thick. They're so thin, rather. And then the wind can just blow them away, you know, stuff like that. And I've had people like that really sad, you know. So I tell them, if you're sad that they're telling you this, how about me? You know, so I just, on this particular episode, I just spoke about people just minding their business. And if you're going to actually have to tell someone that they have to, you know, look at their health chart or something, you know, tell them in a very nice way, tell them in a very cool way, oh, I feel, you're adding a little pounds or something. Do you think you want to check it out or something? Don't just pass unnecessary comments. You're always eating fried food. You're always eating... Don't pass it.
You don't know how that might affect the person.
In fact, it's
irritating. Some people actually get depressed.
Yeah, I got a lot of people actually text me after that episode that they've been actually dealing with low self-esteem. Mm. And, you know, I just gave them like a reason to pull through and fight. And I was so happy because I actually felt that episode was whack.
Yeah.
When I released it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like my third most played.
Oh, really?
Episode, yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool. That's cool.
You?
Okay, so moving on. I'm actually, I don't know, a lot of people talk about this, and up until this year, or maybe late last year,
mm-hmm.
I really had not had, I've not had any, how would I put it, encounter with the phrase. And that is love language.
Aww.
You know, this relationship thing, you people have added a lot of things to this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this relationship issue, love language. There was one I heard the other day, guilty pleasure. people talk about what again? There are several things out there now. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the originator of the love language thing. I can't remember who it was now.
I can't remember either.
Yeah, so are we saying that it's kind of a formula for you know, communication, you know, and all that, chemistry and all those things in relationships, that, you know, I have to cram in my head that, okay, I think there's one that's a word of affirmation, right?
Yeah.
There's one that is something about service. Something about
acts of service.
Acts of service.
Words of affirmation.
Quality time.
Yes, physical touch and receiving gifts.
Okay. So are we supposed to just find out what our partner what our partner's love language is, and then work with that and try to see if it works? Or we are talking about seeing if we can actually create a particular platform where we can discuss issues when it happen.
Okay. For me, your love language doesn't actually center on only romantic relationship.
Okay.
And I mentioned that so many times in my podcast that it has to do with every area of your life, literally.
Mm-hmm.
For your friends to be able to satisfy you, for you guys to be able to friend each other better, you know, or, you know, have deeper understanding of your friendship, you guys need to communicate with your love language. Your love language is literally how you, you know, relate, behave, and accept things.
Okay.
All right. So you don't need it to please your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need it to sort issues out. But it will help you. It's like an upper hand, yeah? If I know that you're a gift person, for me, I'm a gift person.
Okay.
And I love giving gifts and receiving gifts. Bless the Lord.
It's better than to give than to receive, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing is, there's none of my friends that would, you know, say a number of things about me that will not mention the fact that I love giving gifts. So as I love to give, I love to receive.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
now what I was about to say is, if you have a, you know, if you have a fight with your romantic partner or any other person that you're friends with, and the person knows that you're a gift person, if they give you a gift, more or less, you guys are, you know, going to start off your reconciliation process on a better platform than for someone to be irritating you all the time. If I know your soft spot, I'm going for your soft spot instead, you know. So that's why I feel like love languages are like the best to get people. Some people use it to manipulate, of course.
Yes. Like the daughters of Eve. Okay.
Oh my God. Look at you speaking. Pharaoh's descendant.
The only begotten son of the, of Eve. Of begotten daughter.
You're still beefing Eve.
No, so, I mean, I could go on about Eve, but let's not go there.
Excuse you. So really, I feel like people use it to manipulate, of course, to manipulate your partner, but it is an opportunity for you to say things right. For instance, if you know your partner's love language, you will always, most of the time, you know, please them, and most of the time not have fights or quarrel, because you know how to sort it out in time. That's what I feel.
Okay.
If I got your question.
Yeah, I think you got that right. But what about people like us that do not really fall into one particular, would I say, category? Definitely, I'll have some, I don't know.
Everyone has a major love language, and then you have a sprinkle of the rest.
Okay, instance, now you're talking, because I'm actually saying
that's what I said in the podcast.
Into one particular one.
Mm-hmm. You could have like three, but there's a major one. There is one you cannot resist. All right.
For instance,
physical touch is my least. I hate it with passion.
Okay. I like physical touch.
So why are you telling me?
No, no, I'm just, you know, as we go along, I'm just trying to, you know, get into this love language thing.
I know.
And just see if I have one particular love language.
Physical touch might not be your love language. I know quality time is not your love language. That I know.
Even if it is, I can't get it.
But then, as I said, you can learn a love language. In this episode, I remember very well I said that you can actually learn a love language. Some people argued with me on the fact that you cannot learn it. And I said, you actually can. For instance, I was in a relationship with someone that loved physical touch.
And he unlearned it. Please don't tell me that he did.
No, I had to not learn it, but I had to stand it.
Okay.
So I spoke with people on this episode that you can actually learn a love language simply trying, consciously trying to do those things. And should I spoil? Okay. The recent episode we updated, that last one.
Yeah.
So your romantic partner, your love language has a lot to do with it because that episode was about sex. So to initiate sex, you sometimes need your love language.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying on that. Go listen if you haven't.
Yeah, to initiate sex. Okay. Well, thank you for shedding more light on that.
You as well.
We should go up the ladder, right? So yeah, before I say I do, are you saying that there are some things that should be in place? There's some things you... Is it like a list of things you should, you know, do or have or see in the other guy, your partner, of course, before you say you do? Or what exactly?
Yes, I feel like it's a list, but not my list anyways. Your list. Your special list.
Okay.
I was just giving suggestions.
Do you have
things.
A list?
Yes, I do.
You have a list?
Yes, I do.
How many things do you have on the list?
About 10.
10. A full 10.
Yes, 10.
Wow. Okay. Go on.
10 things that a man that wants to be with me, you know, must be able to answer appropriately, and things that we have to actually check out.
Okay.
Because you cannot marry a stranger. You literally have to marry someone you know, your friend. You know, so this episode was literally about questions you're supposed to ask your partner. It wasn't centered on any gender. Both before you pop the question and before you take the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So those were really important questions you need to ask. Like, for instance, there was one that was really bothering me.
Okay.
The one about childbearing. You know, when are we having kids?
Yeah.
How many kids do we want?
Okay.
Don't just come and tell me you want a football team after 2 years of marriage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that you guys need to talk about.
But people switch.
Yes, but the switch won't be so serious if you have spoken about it before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have an agreement that it's just going to be two kids.
It's not like an agreement.
Okay.
It's a consensus, hadidem.
Okay.
That's a legal maxim, which means a meeting of the minds. For instance, you guys come together.
Yes.
Not like an agreement that you guys are signing, but you guys come together, rub minds together. It's not one person's decision, it's the both of you. And then you guys come together, you decide that this is what we want to do, and you do it. You execute it together. So if one person is, you know, backing out, that's like a breach of your contract.
And what happens?
Well, at that stage, because you guys are already married, you guys have to talk about it again.
Yes.
But the truth is, some people don't actually talk about these things before they get married. I had a lot of friends then that were going to get married. Some of these folks were clueless. They just know that, he popped the question. I said, yes, it was a nice, you know, proposal. We're having an engagement, you know. But did they really ask these important questions like how many kids, when, you know? Don't just come get me pregnant when we get married. Because, of course, I have my own life too, you know. So we actually have to talk about things like this. Like, when are the babies going to start coming? For 1 year, 2 years after marriage, 3 years after marriage, or 10 years after marriage, you know. You guys... Are we giving birth at all? Are we adopting? You know, is your mother staying with us?
Okay.
You know, important questions like that. They're seriously important. Do you press the toothpaste from middle or from the back or from the end? You know, questions like that.
Things like that, I feel... Okay, well, it's
no, because scenario, if you actually read a whole lot of divorce reasons, people divorce because of stupid things.
Yeah.
That could have been avoided. So okay. If these questions, you know, were put in place, you actually be able to avoid a lot of stuff.
Okay.
That's what I feel. Because some people, when they're married, their parents moving with them. And a particular partner does not agree with that.
And there are some cultures that are almost even like that.
Cultures like the Igbo culture.
Yeah. And some places in the Hausa, in the northern regions and all that. Like, you know, I think they call it... or you even moving with your parents. Like patriarchy or matriarchy.
Matriarchal system of government?
Yeah, and all those things like that.
Matriarchal doesn't work in Nigeria.
Well, are you sure?
Matriarchal is like when the mother, it's like when it's like a mother society. Yeah. Like the women give the final say, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
in Nigeria, we operate the patriarchal system.
That's when men give the final say, I guess.
Yeah.
Are you sure we actually give the final say?
Well, sometimes. But I just feel like with this generation, because we cannot make the same mistakes our parents made.
Yeah.
For instance, a lot of our parents were not comfortable in their marriage simply because they had to, you know, probably stay with one family member or, you know, someone they were not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But if you guys actually discuss this thing beforehand, you know, you guys will actually reach a consensus and you guys will not have any issue at all. Issues will come, you know, issues will come.
Yeah.
Issues will come, but they won't be as much, you know, as if you guys don't even know yourself, you guys don't have an agreement, you guys don't have any plan.
I quite agree with that.
Plenty issues will be too.
Yeah.
So that was what the episode was about anyways.
Okay, so I think that also has talked about some things said in in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe we'll just keep in-laws. But you should go listen to that episode. Was nice.
It was nice. Yeah. You were expecting me to be on the side of who? The wife?
Well, I actually like when people are neutral and just reason through.
Politician. He called me a politician.
Yeah, just reason through it, and you know, usually things get solved that
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah.
Okay, so rest and recreation series.
Mm-hmm.
You did a podcasting in Europe. But...
It was horrible. I am never, ever, ever going to do it again.
Again. Yeah.
Never.
For you that I even know that, I mean, your Yoruba is not really that clean. I mean, shoot me now. but it was a good try. It was a good try. How about the get to know me? Get to know me.
It was just the podcast where I gave my listeners the opportunity to take a glimpse into my private life.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I answered about 20 questions.
Can't remember how many.
It was 20.
Oh.
It was 20 questions I answered.
Oh, okay. So, then you then started the love, marriage, and sex series.
Yes, that's the one we're on right now.
Yeah, meeting the one.
Mm-hmm.
Marital pressures. Have you been pressured before?
Yes.
Mm. How did that feel?
For a small girl like me.
How did that feel?
Well... I was indifferent about it. The only thing is, my mom just made me know that by 25, if I wasn't married, I had to leave her house. So, is it that you're married?
That was cold, right?
Or you're out.
Okay.
You know, she always said it for when we're young, and then we always give ourselves countdown, you know, like 3 years to 25. Mm-hmm. 2 years to 25, you know. But the truth is, my older sister is like way over 25 and she's not married. Yeah. She's still in the house.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's kicking anybody out. But like low key, you know,
okay.
The marriage talk is coming up small.
Yeah. Okay.
But my grandma wants you to get married before she dies.
And she's still alive, right? I suppose.
Yes.
Okay. How old is she now?
She's about 90 something.
She's
about 96 or 95.
And she still wants that. Yes. You know, no offense. People in that age group can actually, you might get home now and you hear the news. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, I know.
So the Love, Sex and Marriage series, proper age for marriage. Are we still going in the direction of getting married before your grandma dies or because I know you talked about getting married before 25.
Yes, please.
And then you talked about when is the best time to get pregnant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my point is this. Life happens.
Yes.
And a lot of times you plan these things
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't work out that way.
Yes.
So you want to get married before 25.
Mm-hmm.
And some others, it happens that even at 28, you're not married yet. Mm-hmm. Not as if there's anything wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Life just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people who are 30
mm-hmm.
and they're not married yet. Not because they don't want to get married,
mm-hmm.
but because life happened.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that they've missed it in life? Do you think that they should have done things differently? Do you think that they didn't do well
mm-hmm.
by themselves?
First of all, may life not happen to us. No, honestly, amen. That's the first most important thing. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is they didn't do anything wrong.
Okay.
Okay, sometimes the choices we make have consequences. And if you feel like your career at that time is more important than you settling down, then you probably have to bear the consequences at the end of the day that you might actually not settle down in time.
Okay.
You know, so it's not your fault. But of course, there are things you can do.
Yeah.
To remedy that.
Okay.
And that means like you should be actively searching. Because when you ask some people of their marital status, they're like searching, but not actively, you know.
Yeah, people do that.
But I feel like you should be actively searching if you know that you genuinely want to get married and have kids because of so many health issues, you know, that are attached to women giving birth at, you know, late. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Late age now, you know. So all those issues attached.
Mm-hmm.
So you should actually actively search. In fact, tell all your family people you are searching. No.
Slide into people's DMs.
Pour water and slide. You know.
Slide with a banana peel.
Do anything, but do not be desperate.
Okay.
As much as you're actively searching, come on, search in prayers, search with your eyes,
mm-hmm.
search with your body language. Please, I'm not asking you to be doing anything that I will not do.
You always have to ask yourself, what would Jesus do, right?
What would Jesus do? Okay. Yeah, so, but you should actually be actively, you know, searching for somebody because mm-hmm. you really, 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 really need to move on in life because you can't be CEO all the time. You have to be someone's mommy, except you don't actually want to have kids.
Yeah.
You can marry anytime.
Yeah.
You know, it's just for cruise and inshallah and vibes, you know. Mm-hmm. Can marry anytime. But if you know that you want to have your own babies, then you necessarily have to get married in time. But if life happened to you and couldn't get married in time, then you have to look for something to remedy. Don't keep quiet. Don't be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just be saying you are single. Not everybody can get married. Please stop it.
And just work, right?
Put yourself on Gigi. Bunga, Jumia.
And sell yourself, right?
Sell yourself.
Yeah.
But don't just sell yourself cheap.
Okay.
There's someone for you.
It has to be exclusive, premium quality.
You know, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So we're about rounding up this episode, but we'll just talk about one more episode from your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that is premarital sex and sex in marriage. Now, mm-hmm. before you go on about that, mm-hmm. a friend of mine would say that mm-hmm. Before you buy a car,
mm-hmm.
they actually allow you to test run it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before you buy gari, they actually even give you some to taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the common suya man out there, you know, cuts mm-hmm. a piece of his suya meat mm-hmm. for you to taste and know that, mm-hmm. you know, it's premium quality.
Mm-hmm.
That why should that not apply to, you know, getting a wife? Now, as we all know, that's premarital sex. And if we are talking about these things, outside religious ethics, you know, mm-hmm. and things like that. The guy has some points. You know, I'm not saying that we should always do that, but the guy has some points that, you know, you should know what you're buying. You should know what you're getting into. I actually have had a friend who got married to his wife because he likes the way she does during sex. Just allow me to put it like that. And if he had not actually
tasted it,
yes, mm-hmm. he wouldn't have known. And, you know, you might actually just get married because there are couples that have come in before, you know, who actually don't know how to have sex, mm-hmm. you know, and then they go for counseling, you know, and things like that. So mm-hmm. It's kind of a touchy matter, really, because some think premarital sex is fine. Some think, oh, no,
it's not,
you know, before we even move into, you know, sex in marriage, because mm-hmm. trust me, a lot of people like sex in different ways and you're not giving them that in marriage. It's mm-hmm. kind of difficult, you know, to, you know, go along with that marriage as mm-hmm. sweet as, you know, they wanted it to be. So, mm-hmm. I know I've said a lot, but what do you think about all this?
Well, for me, I feel like because you went to test run a car, they didn't give you the car.
You might actually buy it if you like it.
Yes, but what happens to, okay, like for instance, a woman's body is what you want to sample out, right? For you to know if this person is for you, or a man's body is what you want to sample out.
Now you like, complete it. Yeah. Full yes, circle now.
A woman's body or a man's body is what okay. you want to sample out. Mm-hmm. All right. Just like Mishai, Suya. Suya wants to give you, Mala wants to give you, no, out of the Suya.
Now,
you
when
know?
You put it this way, it just, you know, makes it sound a little bit demeaning.
Let me explain.
I didn't mean it that way.
Let me explain.
Okay.
What happened to touching hands? What happened to a peck? What happened to her ethics? What happened to her behavior? Of course, for you to buy a car, to test run the car, you want to know if this car can do what you want.
Yeah.
But then you want to know if this car can actually, you know, take you for 6, 7, 8 hours driving.
Yes.
But you actually only test run for 5, 10 minutes.
Yes, but at the
you
same time, you
want the
also
old Suya. Mm-hmm. But you're only getting a bite.
Yeah.
And or a slice of the suya.
And if the bite is good.
Same as you tell this him, person's attributes. Same as their character. Same as holding hands. Same as a peck.
Holding hands can never ever replace having sex.
Sex is spiritual. Sex is communication.
I understand.
Just in case you are my listener. Okay, for it's hijacking my podcast right now. But just in case you're a listener on this platform from my 25 countries, sex is spiritual and it's supposed to be a communication between you and your partner. If you're having premarital sex, I said it on this episode, you're just having sex. You're not making love. Making love is like the now, real
this,
deal.
This part of the things that, you know, it just... you know, bothers me, just like love language, mm-hmm. guilty pleasures, you know, mm-hmm. people start talking about having sex mm-hmm. and making love. I kind of understand what you mean by that, actually, mm-hmm. you know, but however you put it, making love is still having sex.
But it's making love.
But sex isn't it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But with...
Go on. I rest my case, my lord. my lord. My lord, may I?
It's having sex with bubbles.
May I, my lord?
You may. Anyways.
Okay.
So you having premarital sex, really, thinking you just want to have a slice. What if you don't end up with this person?
Mm.
See, ladies get attached a whole lot. And then this lady is attached to you. Even when you're married, she's bothering your life. Mm-hmm. Because she's attached to you and you're... Ooh, so she wants okay. both of you, but you can't give it because you have your body to someone else now. And that's the beginning of extramarital affairs, premarital sex.
But I put it to you
that
some ladies, mm-hmm. not just some, a whole lot of ladies, mm-hmm. I stand corrected, mm-hmm. also want to know if, take for example, you're good in bed before the you know, get into a marriage or whatever institution with you. Because, mm-hmm. Just like this rich kid says, 2 minutes, everything I've bust.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants that. the 2 minutes mm-hmm. Indomie, you know, and things like that. I've had a lot of women talk about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so they also want to know if, you know, you're good in bed, mm-hmm. if, you know, things will work out. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. it's going to be really sad and tragic for some if they get married to a guy who does 1 minute and everything have bust.
But there's something my mom actually said, and that's listening. What I'm just going to, like, hit on this particular notion you're, you know, making.
Okay.
She said, marriage is a blind market. You're just going in faith. It could be a short person. It could be a long person. It could be a wide person. It could mm-hmm. be a thin person. You're just going in faith.
Okay.
And the moment you know you're going in faith, see, you take whatever you take.
As it is.
Because if you sample every single person out.
Yes.
And every single person you have sampled does not actually match up to your expectation. Are you going to continue to sample?
Where?
Are you a sampler? What exactly is going on when you are not factory producing different, you know, different materials, and then people have to buy samples first to see? No, you can't keep doing that, because it's bad for your health.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
It's bad for your name.
Definitely.
In fact, it's shameful. You
needed to say that, right?
Because honestly, as a lady, as a guy, you cannot sample everybody.
Yeah.
Just go in faith and pick something. You know, trust God that this one you have picked is the one that will suit you. the one that will match every single thing you want.
You need to actually have faith that could move a mountain, really, because having the faith that it's going to be good
mm-hmm.
is actually the, you know, blind thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. I mean, may we not fall into, you know,
may we not buy Tokumbo?
Yes, you know. You know, but
honestly,
but yeah, you won't blame people that, you know, want premarital sex. Like I said, you know, when we talk about religion and things like that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, for God's sakes, we all know, you know, where, you know, the religion stands with things like this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but when we are talking about, you know, real life situations, again, you have to consider these people, you know, and also know that a lot of marriages have also been broken mm-hmm. because the guy or the girl, they don't like, you know, their sexual encounters.
They tried to work on it?
Yeah, they will tell you they've tried to work on it.
Did they actually try? That's the problem most people have. Are you guys actually actively trying to work on your sexual life?
And that's what they will tell you. I mean, take for example, the girl likes the manhood to be big. Gets in there, it's small. I just said that. Okay. And I know ladies who want it to be like that. There is no way.
I'm sorry, but this one is funny.
yeah. You know, we hear a lot of things, especially mm-hmm. in my line of work. Okay, so there is no way, unless he's going to start
using penis enlargements.
I'm a doctor, by
he's
the
a
way.
Doctor.
Yeah. So unless the guy starts using penis enlargements or goes to do surgery or whatever, which really doesn't work most of the time. You know, there's no saving that, because every time they have sex in their marriage, everything is just, well, just do and finish, Jare.
Maybe.
Now.
Finish. I don't know what to say on that, because I've never been in that situation. I'm not married. But one thing I can say is that can help, you know, curious people. Maybe you should ask questions. Just maybe. This out like, of scriptures.
Like
this out
big,
of faith.
Like how big it is.
Like how many inches.
Really?
I'm just, because if this is what would determine, these are not determinants of relationship. People just break up for silly reasons.
Yeah.
But if this is the determinant for your own relationship,
yes.
Then I think you should ask.
And he says, it's 10 inches.
If it lies,
and it's,
if it lies, according to the Catholic inches. Church, deceit, I think, is a basis for divorce. So if it lies,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's not up to some inches below, that's cool. But if it's like really small.
I don't know, boy, to know. This is his words against hers. Or are you trying to say that they will sign a document that... Okay,
but do you know that, that as much as ladies want men, or as much as some ladies, don't even let me say ladies, as much as some ladies, some curious ladies really want men with, you know, a long manhood or a smaller one or whatever. Just as the guys have preferences too. Mm-hmm. But if everybody is deciding and everybody is trying to select based on sexual orientation, how many people are actually going to get married? Are we getting married for the sex only? The fact is, you don't even have sex every day.
Yes.
So?
Okay.
But do you know that a small machine can do a lot of work?
Yes.
I'm saying machine, like machine.
Let's just leave it at machine, right?
Can do a lot of work.
Yes.
You know, better than a bigger one.
Yes.
So it just depends. Can you handle it? If you can handle it, go for it. If you cannot handle it, leave it. Marriage markets, na fates.
Okay.
Use your fates. And if you're so curious, ask questions. Please don't disturb me.
Okay, quick one before we go.
Okay.
Yeah, so a lady has actually told me this,
mm-hmm.
that what she does
mm.
is that while they're making out,
mm-hmm.
she, you know, tries to, you know, of course the guy would be hard and all that by then, so she tries to caress the guy and then with that estimate how big it is while it is, you know, in his pants. Of course.
I wish this was a video so you guys can see my face. Like, this is disgusting.
Now,
ew.
They've not had sex, but she has sampled.
I think I need to do a podcast to explain that making out is a sin. Honestly, guys.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah, so she will tell you that she doesn't have sex with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not having premarital sex. But again, she wants to have an idea of what she's going into. So
foreplay,
she makes out.
Is premarital sex.
And she tries to estimate, you know, judging with her fingers and all that.
Jesus, I hope you know that foreplay, when you're not married, is still premarital sex.
Yes.
And so, it's still not good, not right, because you're just putting yourself in the position every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So please, take it with one faith and forget it.
So, what you've just listened to...
He didn't create himself.
Yeah.
Jehovah created him.
Yeah.
You did not create yourself.
So she should take it like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this other one, before we actually end this episode. Sorry, I keep mm-hmm. bringing them up, but there are just so many scenarios, okay? This other one, you have people who have what we call vaginismus, okay? People who have vaginal spasms, okay? So we've not had sex. We're going in blind. And then I get in there and discover that I can't have sex with my wife because she has a long-standing whatever that has, you know, made her have vaginal spasms.
Long-standing what? Don't say whatever.
No, I mean, there are different things that, you know, may cause you to have vaginal spasms.
Like health-related
emotional issues, okay. Psychological issues,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So, yeah, you have this, and then you start, you know, wondering why she didn't tell you about this. Of course, she may never have known because she also has not had sex before.
Yeah. It happens, and it happens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm going to say. It happens. I'm not a doctor. But what I can say is that you really just need to have her trust you. Because if it's an emotional problem,
mm-hmm.
she needs to trust you. That's the only way she can open up for you.
Okay.
That's the only way. Open up like literally and like literally. That's the only way. So if you know you can talk about it before you get married, talk about it.
No, but what that's I'm saying if you is know, that she that's doesn't. If you know. She does not know.
Yeah, if you don't know,
sex before,
and you find out in marriage.
Yes.
Marriage is a training ground. You guys get to know each other better.
Mm-hmm.
So simply talk about it. Find solutions. Go to the hospital. Doctors are your friend. I have a doctor here.
Mm-hmm.
So. You guys should just look for a way to sort it out. It's not worth you guys leaving each other over. So you guys don't have to practicalize sex for you to know maybe someone will be having vaginal spasm or not.
Or not, right?
You know, so because if it happens, unko, and the thing is inside, are you going to get usage? But you guys have to go to the hospital, you know, yes, to treat yourself.
Yes.
So I just feel like you guys should just work with it. Seriously, it's a training ground. You guys will learn, unlearn, relearn and stuff.
Mm.
Most importantly, you'll be fine.
Yeah, so thank you very much for being a guest on your own show, Itunu.
Thank you for hosting me.
Yeah, so we've talked about most, not all, mm-hmm, of her, you know, 20 episodes. I think the ones we didn't talk about were the answers episode.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about the stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't go into the public opinions of her podcast show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll leave you with that to actually go to, you know, her anchor page. Would you tell your listeners how they can actually get to hear your podcast, please?
Okay, so just search for ttwl.disha.page.
Okay.
On your browser, and you can see about 20 different platforms for you to listen on Apple, okay, Spotify, Google.
Mm-hmm. You're just Google everywhere Mac. Now, like MTN.
I'm everywhere.
Okay.
Boom.
So, how about your social media handles for people that just like to go straight to your social media? And
okay, I'm on Instagram and on Twitter at honestitunu. HONESTITUNU.
Oh, okay. So, once again, I'm Nicholas Ate. I'm the host of the Little Bits of Stuff podcast show, hijacking the Talk Time with Lungpe show. And until next time, stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.